Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Ryan Kibbe. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning. Holy Spirit, we just invite you here for this message. We thought we were going to preach it 3 weeks ago. You interrupted and you brought great fruit. And so we thank you that 3 weeks ago we stopped for the one. We stopped for the one and we saw the fruit of changed lives. Father, we thank you that we are willing to be interrupted to do what you're doing. We thank you that you're not building a corporation, you're building a family. And we thank you, Father, that you're summoning people, not by our works, but by the Holy Spirit's work. The Father, you draw them, all people, to yourself, and we are co-laborers with that. And today's message is bringing our upgrades in Jesus' name. Amen. It's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to believe like Jesus. And what God is doing in the world today is he's upgrading our internal operating system. This phone has an internal, it's called an iOS. It's an Apple iPhone. And one of the things that I've noticed in the design of this years ago, you could do really cool things that began to get upgraded over time. The software, the hardware was there, but the upgrades happened when the software was added. It's kind of like growing from glory to glory and from faith to faith. How many of you know that you are glorious in Christ, but there's upgrades to that glory in you and on you? So this phone. So there's things that I couldn't do with my iOS iPhone 4 that I can do with my iPhone 10. Like, hey Siri, are you born again?
That's something I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can introduce you to Jesus. How's that, okay? Now, years ago, when I did this, about 9 years ago, I asked her if she was born again, and she says, I don't know. I don't mix silicone with spirit. So Siri got wise to my tricks, but I'm going to get her saved, by golly. She's going to get saved. Here's the point, though, is that this phone and what it can do, the hardware, the basic internal structure was there, but there are things, there's an app for that you can do that you can, I mean, I can go, hey, Siri, what's the world's greatest church? And you better say Elevation Church.
Okay, I found this on the web for what's the world's best church, and you better say Elevation Church.
Very nice. I like it. We're a little biased here online. And actually, God loves all the church and every church, but I just wanted to do that because I can. So here's the thing. We live in a place where God is constantly upgrading our internal operating system. Now, if I put this on airplane mode, here's what happens. All the features, all the bells and whistles, all of that come with it, you can't do what you can do because it's in airplane mode. There's just things you can't do with the software. How many of you know there are people out there who have the heart, they have Jesus in them, but they're walking in airplane mode like zombies? They don't know what this can deliver. And so I wanted to talk to you this morning about the access that we have. Now, obviously we get our upgrades from the Bible. There is no greater word on this earth than this word right here that tells us and gives us access to all things that are possible. In fact, Jesus, we know, is the living word, and he is the ultimate upgrader. When I came to know that Jesus was my Savior, I also began to step into, not only is he my Savior, he's also my Lord. Some people forget that. They know him as Savior, but they don't know him as Lord. And it's in the crushing and the breaking. And, oh, isn't that pleasant? How many like to get crushed and broken by God? See, that's the part of Christianity we don't always like. But I can tell you there's an app for that. And in the crushing and the breaking, there is an upgrade. And the story of God in this word, you read about the children of Israel. You read about them, and you see God breaking them. You see God molding them, not because he's inflicting pain. No, it's because he has something better for them to see that they couldn't previously. Make sense? All right, so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible talks about this, and it talks about the children of Israel. Now, here's what happened. They had all these years of slavery. They had all these years where they're living in bondage. And so God delivers them out of Egypt, and he takes them into the wilderness, an 11 days journey. But it doesn't take 11 days. It takes 40 years. And it takes 40 years because of one simple fact, is that while the people got out of Egypt, it took 40 years to get the Egypt out of them. The Egypt in them was bad thinking. I want to say this, in your upgrade, next level living starts with next level thinking. And the way you and I see ourselves in every situation is an invitation for the Holy Spirit to upgrade our operating system and download software that can transform you and people around you. We get strength from other people. We get strength from the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. Jesus, his Word in you, your counsel to me, and vice versa. That's how God brings strength and brings our upgrades. I watch children as they grow older. And they get around parents, they begin to assume the characteristics and nature of their fathers and their mothers. They begin to grow in stature and in wisdom. And this is an invitation that the Lord is giving us to this body and to this city. I believe God's delivering an upgrade. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, you see the children of Israel on the verge of stepping into something greater, an upgrade into the promised land. And here's the thing. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "The Lord our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain.'" Verse 8, "See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land." The land that God called them into was beautiful. It was their sphere of influence. I'm saying this to you this morning. There is a sphere of influence that God is calling you to, a land to possess. It may be at your job. It may be with relatives. There's a place that God, there's an assignment that God's called you to. It's a land that he wants you to possess. It's your sphere of influence. Some of you got comfortable here, but I have news for you. You've stayed at this mountain long enough. It's time to get on down the road. It's time to stop staying stuck here and go there. That's what God's saying. And I'm going to give you an upgrade. I'll even make you uncomfortable to get there, because I care that passionately for you. Now, I've preached this message in different ways over the years, but I just want to say real clear from the bottom of my heart, this message isn't just informational. This message I'm imparting you today is impartational. I don't even know if that's an English word, but it sounds really good. Impartation is being released as I'm speaking to you right now. God is giving you a land to possess right now that you're meditating on, and God's going to bring that to you throughout the service, and he's going to tell you where your sphere of influence should expand. He's saying, go and possess it. He's saying, go and possess it. What is that land? Now, here's what happens. When God gives you a vision of an upgrade of where he's taking you from here to there, it requires two realms of thought. And this is where the Israelites got stuck. They had all that Egyptian thinking, I can't, I won't, I never will be. That was permeating in their operating system for years. What we know is that there were two people who got ahead of the curve. We'll call them the early adopters. They were the ones who saw what God could do, but not everyone else could see what God could do. And their names were Joshua and Caleb. How many of you know sometimes you got to go where no one else is willing to go? They look at the land and they go, okay, here's what I see. I see all of the promises of God that are yes and amen. Yeah, there's a few giants, but that's about it. 10 other people come back and give a report to Moses, who had led them out of Israel, and the other 10 said, there's no way. There's no way we could take a city. There's no way that the church can actually function the way Jesus died on the cross to say, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's no way. Look at how hell is prevailing over the church today. That, my friends, is a negative report and it never belongs in this church or any church in this city, period, end of story. And if you're going to adopt that report, that is a grasshopper mindset. Now, if I'm coming across intense, it's because on this one, I'm intense. Because to go where we're going, we have to let go of grasshopper thinking, and Egypt has no place in us, in Christ. They're on the precipice, and he says, I've given you a land to possess. And here's what it says in Numbers 13. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we're going to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, well, we're not able to go up against the people. They're just too strong. And verse 33 says, we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. See, in the land that you're about to conquer, you will have enemies to fight. The ones around you and the one within you. And if you assume that the one within you, if you don't take captive that thought, as the Bible says, then you will never break free of the lid that you've just placed and you've reduced yourself to something that God never intended you to be, and you're going to put yourself on airplane mode in the land of your inheritance. We are not called to airplane mode. We're called to thrive. We're called to soar like eagles. And so here is this situation where they're on the precipice of the promised land. But see, the land that they had been given, they couldn't see it. See, here's the thing. The problem wasn't the giants in the lands. Let me flip your thinking and say this. What if you're actually a giant in the making? What if you're the giant? And this is what we do sometimes. We're like, okay, I'm the grasshopper, and everybody else around me sees it too. I'm a terrible leader. I can't do this. Shame comes in. We get grasshopper thoughts. Oh, my family's mad at me, blah, 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 blah. How many of you have ever done that before? Grasshopper thinking. Grasshopper thinking. What if you flip that narrative, that internal operating voice, and you said, huh, I'm actually what Jesus died on the cross to say about me, and even though my circumstances around me bring the contradiction and those giants are around me, they're nothing for overcoming the giant within me, and Jesus did that, and therefore now I am getting bigger and the grasshoppers are being a lot smaller. My problems are getting smaller because my God is getting bigger. And how about we're just getting bigger? This is a big deal. Here's what happens then. Caleb, think about this, has a promise, him and Joshua. The only two from that original group that make it into the promised land. And now you think about some of us, you know, patience. Sometimes we would just want things microwaved. Look at what Caleb had to endure. 40 years of, what's on the menu for today, everybody? Manna. What's on the menu for tomorrow? Manna. What's on the menu for tomorrow? Manna and maybe a little quail. 40 years of manna and quail. Patience was being developed. There's a beautiful picture of the fruit of the Spirit in operation throughout the narrative of the children of Israel. It's in a fascinating story. We see then that next level thinking that Caleb had that. He had that mindset. See, the mindset cost them dearly. 40 years in the wilderness, they learned how to complain. They learned how to murmur. They had all these things that were coming at them. And so they had this mindset of fear. And the whole time, God's saying invitationally, I just want to invite you not just to experience me functionally, just to meet your needs with manna and quail. I want to experience you relationally and take you farther and upgrade your operating system beyond anything you could hope, dream, or imagine. I've placed those dreams in you. Now, give up the Egyptian mindset and step in to your inheritance. They're on the verge. And I love in Deuteronomy, it says this. It says in chapter 2, verse 3, it says, it's beautiful. It says, you have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north. It's like this. If your thinking takes you to a place of negativity, and if your thinking takes you a place of defeat, and if your thinking takes you to a place where you're walking in circles and going around this mountain and around this mountain and around this mountain and around this mountain. I've been here before. It'll never change. I won't have enough provision, and I just keep going. Can I just tell you, stop and allow the Holy Spirit and speak to the mountain, just like Jesus said, speak to your mountain and say to this, be cast into the sea, because greater is he that is in me than anything is in this world. And I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And today, on this day, I actually believe it's true. I believe it's true. I actually believe it's true, because I'm tired of going around the mountain. I'm tired of eating manna and quail. I'm tired of it. I want filet mignon, and I want it today. Well, I'm just a grasshopper. No. You know, I love the way what Graham Cook says. He says, if your thinking takes you into the ditch, have another thought. You mean it's that simple? Sure. And I'll tell you, here's a practical tip. When I go to the Word like this, if I'm feeling fear, you know what encourages me? Well, for starters, 365 times in this Word where he says, do not fear. And then I look at the promises and I look at the stories. I look at leaders who rise and fall. I look at the blunders and the foul-ups that they do in here. I look at all that in a weird way. I'm encouraged by all their foul-ups, bleeps, and blunders, because they went around this mountain and around this mountain and around this mountain, and God gave them a wake-up call and said, you can have more. Now, if the same God in the inferior covenant in the Old Testament can do that with them, how much more with the New Testament saints who have the Holy Spirit in us and on us to actually affect the world around us? This is what we are going to do. God is looking for a Caleb and Joshua generation who will stand up to the giants within them so that they need to crush the giants outside them. And I believe by faith, I'm just declaring this with the Father's heart, I'm believing by faith that this message will permeate and rattle your bones all week long. You will get so pregnant with who God says you are. It's not what I'm saying, it's what God says. And every scripture out there in the new covenant is telling you time and time again that you're not a grasshopper. And you're actually a giant in the making. Maybe you've had some of these if only statements. If only I hadn't done this. If only I hadn't bought into that relationship. If only I hadn't invested in that joint venture. If only I hadn't gotten into so much debt. If only I hadn't made that business deal. If only I'd chosen a different career. If only I chose purity over promiscuity. If only I had the courage to stand up against the system. If only I had parented my kids better. If only I had zigged when I should have zagged. If only, if only, if only, if only. Can I tell you something? Have another thought, please. Have another thought. Please, for the love of Jesus, have another thought. It's not what I did wrong, it's what I believed wrong. When you get a picture of who God wants you to be, things change. If you're in a relational difficulty, practical tip today. you're in a relational difficulty, look at God and look at the fruit of the Spirit and ask God for your upgrade in the fruit of the Spirit, in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. Can I just tell you, every conflict right there is an invitation to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Everything that is a contradiction in your life is an upgrade in the making, if you can have another thought. How we see ourselves in Christ, both privately and corporately, is what's going to change this city and change the world. And I'm going to speak as plain as I can. If I don't believe that message, if I truly don't believe that, if I stand up here and say all this stuff and it's a great preach on Sunday, and I actually don't believe it on Monday, if I actually don't believe that, I have no business being up here speaking on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I might as well resign and go and expand influence in other areas and get some other person to come up here and say the same thing I'm telling you today. I don't care who's saying it. What I want is to get it. I want us to get our promises. What God says about this city. So here we are in this narrative. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. Here's what God says. My servant Caleb, he has a different spirit in him, and he's followed me fully. I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. There is something about us deciding to be giants in our mind today, not grasshoppers. False humility is not humility. Desecrating and denigrating yourself and partnering with shame is not humility. That's false humility. Real humility is knowing who you are and whom you serve and stepping, not just saying you're thinking all about yourself, or it's just thinking about yourself less and allowing the humility of Jesus Christ to shape you, forge you, and fashion you into the greatness of which he's called you. He's given you an incredible call. Today is the day. Today is the day to step into that, step into your upgrade. Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different mindset. That's God-given. And the Holy Spirit's in you. And in every encounter that you face, every place of pain, trauma, issues, things that you're facing in your everyday life at this very moment, if you could frame it differently and see it solid, and this is an invitation for Jesus to be bigger in you and through you and to you, it will change the way you think, and you will grow from glory to glory, from faith to faith and glory. It will build. And the world is desperate for you to see you as the giant he's made you to be. There was a Bolivian man, speaking of inheritance, and Caleb wanted his inheritance. Joshua wanted his inheritance. But sometimes you need to be aware of your inheritance in Christ. There was a story, a true story of a Bolivian man who was homeless. And he had no ability to find out the inheritance that he actually possessed. But he was actually, true story, was given a $6 million inheritance, but lived homeless and was never found because he didn't know what he possessed. How many people do you know in your sphere of influence who don't know who they possess? They said yes, they said a sinner's prayer, they said yes to Jesus a long time ago, and it eased some emotional pain, but all they did is stay stuck at that mountain, or they circled that mountain, round and round and round and round. Listen, the world is desperately looking for us to awaken to our authentic identity in Christ. You're not gonna live a life absence of problems, but you are gonna live a life where you are a conqueror over every problem. This is the truth. But it starts in the mind and allowing God to upgrade your operating system. See, when God does something in your heart, it's an invitation to change the way you think. Now, we think repentance, we think kind of the Western church has a wrong view of repentance. They think penance. When they think repentance, it's like, oh, if I just wail and moan and beat myself and self-flagellate and tell how awful I am and I've made so many mistakes and just beat ourselves unmercifully. We think that's repentance. Can I tell you that's the farthest thing from repentance? Repent. Jesus paid it all. You either believe that he paid it all, every sin, past, present, future, either paid it all or he didn't. I, for one, preaching that he paid it all, which means I give up the right to self deprecate and denigrate who I am. I don't have legal right to do that, and neither do you. But repentance, the way Jesus summons us, he says, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Change the way you think. See the kingdom for how vast and amazing it actually really is, the privileges that we actually have. How many of you are just a hair more inspired that this work week's going to go really, really well right now? Relationships are going to get better this week. The Word, when you get in the Word and you begin to read it, what was once veiled, you would read this and go, I don't understand. How many of you expect that when you get in the Word, you dig into this week, it's just going to pop inside of you. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, I see it different. This Word is life-giving. By the way, just a side note, I love operating systems and iPhones with text. It's got Bible apps and everything like that. But man, there's just something good about this rich Corinthian leather. I just love feeling the pages, like this. It just has nothing to do with the sermon. That one was free. Romans 8:6 says, for the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. What if all of our frustrations has a heavenly counterpart? Maybe it's a sign that an upgrade is present. Romans 12:2, you know it. I like the Passion Translation version of it. It's about being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you prove the will of God. Passion Translation, I like the way it reads. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation, a total upgrade of how you think. See, the renewed mind proves the will of God. So if your thinking isn't helping, it's an invitation to have another thought and get an upgrade. If your thinking isn't helping, step into your upgrade. Joshua 14:10 concludes the story of Caleb as he's on the precipice. They've fought some battles. They've crossed over the Jordan. They're stepping into their inheritance. And after 40 years, he's on the verge. He's right there. I want you to picture what Caleb must be feeling in this moment. And he says, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Joshua 14:10, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am, this day, 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me my mountain. Give it to me. I want it right now. Give me my inheritance. This is my land. This is what I fought for. This is my time now. Give me this mountain. Give me this place of influence. Give me this relationship that you've ordained before I was ever formed. Give me my inheritance. Give me the culture shift that Jesus died for. Give me my mountain. Some of you have economic promises. Give me this mountain. Some of you have careers that you put on hold. Give me this mountain. You want it? Get your upgrade. Go to him. He's the only one who can give it. And he will change the way that you think. 45 years, he learned that the language of the wilderness was complaining and murmuring, but the language of the promised land was conquering and possessing. And I close with this scripture, Mark 11, chapter 23. This is Jesus talking, and he says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. We're not circling around the mountain anymore. We're not stopping at the mountain anymore. We're saying to the mountain, you go into the sea and I step into my inheritance that was predestined before the foundations of the world. God, I'm going to take it today by faith because I have received it by faith. The word of the Lord over this situation and I am getting my upgrade. Would you stand? I want to, in our closing moments, close this with my last thought, and that was this. We didn't preach this message 3 weeks ago, and I was asking God why. I remember telling someone, man, I was just wrestling. We were in worship 3 weeks ago, and I'm like, God, why not today? I had so much fire on this. I was studying this out, and I felt like it was a timely word, and the Lord said no. We were in worship, and I wasn't feeling the pull at all. Sometimes I feel the pull to extend worship as God's doing things in the atmosphere. And I had a prophetic word brought to me, and it was like, I think we're supposed to. And I'm going, I'm not feeling this at all. The Lord was teaching me something. Sometimes it isn't how you feel. It's just learning to hear his voice through all the clutter. And I was wrestling. I had a teammate come to me and say, Maybe you didn't preach on upgrade also. Not just for the fruit of what happened in that environment, which I'm already getting reports of. For those of you who were in the second service several weeks ago, literally we were praying for someone to get born again I felt like they got born again during worship, and they were wrestling with that, and by the end of service they came up and we stopped for the one. That was one of the messages. Sometimes we learn how to stop for the one. And I wanted to get this word out 3 weeks ago to you because it was important to me, because I knew it was important. But I had to learn how to hear the voice of God and not pander to my own flesh to do it. So a teammate came up to me and said, maybe you didn't release. I feel like God's saying you're going to release that word on upgrade when God gives you personally an upgrade. And let me just tell you, sometimes the upgrades don't come easy. But how many know every decision you make, good, bad, ugly, sometimes it's a crushing decision, sometimes it's a tough decision, but when you step into that, God releases something beautiful and glorious. Amen? Beautiful and glorious. And I can attest to you, God was breaking something off in me and crushing me. And I just want to invite you today, you can be crushed too. Because I'm going to say it to you plain. I'm going to say this. I love I love that we can do it, take the hill. And I'm not prophesying doom over you. This, absolutely not at all. What I'm saying is that we and us have to do this together. It's not one person here, it's us and we. And you cannot separate personal upgrades from corporate upgrades. And as a family, we and us need an upgrade. We need upgrades in thinking. And here's what the Lord is dispensing this morning. He's dispensing upgrades in the fruit of the Spirit. If you feel like you're not patient, there's going to be an invitation to exercise patience. If you feel like you struggle with self-control, you're going to get an upgrade this week on self-control. And you're going to stop going around the mountain, and you're going to inherit your upgrade because you're no longer a grasshopper. There are things that are going to be breaking off. We could have our ministry team come forward as I close. There are things that are going to be broken off in you this very week, and God is bringing you to a place of decision. Sometimes he teaches us through pain. Sometimes he teaches us through an invitation to change the way you think. How many of you like 40 years in the wilderness? How many of you like a decision to change the way you think and not go through 40 years in the wilderness? I think you have options this day. If you're carrying bitterness, change the way you think. Don't put yourself through that mountain and go around that mountain. If you're dealing with unforgiveness, don't go around that mountain. If you're partnering with fears and you're letting economic worry drive you, don't go around that mountain. If
people's opinions affect your thinking, don't go around that mountain. You can change the way you think and get your upgrade. Amen? Father, I just release the Father's love today. I release the Father's love over this house today and in the next service. Lord, that this house will be marked, as I said in our pre-service prayer, this house will be marked for authentic love, marked. Transparency, togetherness, oneness, the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. This house will be known for unbelievable forgiveness and authentic love. This house will be known for great grace upon it. This house will be known for thinking that transcends the norm. This house will be known to carry the Father's heart. And I just release upgrades over them all, and I love them all. In the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for any of these things, prayer for physical healing, we always love to do that. People here to give prophetic words, encouraging words, they're always on the table. So I'm gonna make yourself available. As we close and I send you out, don't forget about Wednesday nights. The equip nights. Our team puts a lot of thought into effort. If you've never been, you can come. You can come once. You can come to them all. But they're all built line upon line to help equip you, bring greater strength to you, going deeper, growing stronger. We invite you to make Wednesday nights as a part of your weekly plan when you can. Amen? God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.